Our lesson this morning is out of Psalm 139, verses 13 to 18, with 19 through 24, relying on an omnipotent God to handle difficult relationships. Some of the relationships with others can be so difficult that we lack the ability to understand how to begin to address them, and we wonder whether we are part of the problem or whether the other party alone is at fault. Psalm 139 addresses this concern by applying God's omniscience, His omnipresence, and His omnipotence to it. With Psalm 139, 13 to 18, in light of verses 19 to 24, focusing on applying God's omnipotence to such relationships. I'd like to pause for a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the Word of God. Father, we thank You for the privilege, once again, that You grant us to be able to fellowship around the Word of God. We thank You for the indwelling Spirit of God, who is our teacher, who is our instructor, who also corrects us, who also equips us to live the Christian life by His power as we rely on the Lord. So we ask this morning, Father, for wisdom to understand what You're seeking to teach, and also to heed Your word and to rely on Your Spirit to fulfill it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd like to look at the verses in the King James Version, and then we'll shift. This is verses 13 through 24. For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in the continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye men of bloodshed. For they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I have an abhorrence for them, O Lord, that hate Thee, and am I not grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I abhor them with a perfect abhorrence. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Okay, the numbering system in the psalm, of course, equals that of the, in the Hebrew text, equals that of the English Bible, so we're just staying with the English Bible's numbering system. So we then translate these verses as follows. Verse 13, for you, it's an emphatic pronoun in front of the verb, for you formed my kidneys, literally. Now, it doesn't make sense just to refer to God forming kidneys without there being other organs, so we take it the figurative expression for kidneys is the emotional structure. This is a powerful argument. David is saying, remember, he had introduced this part of the psalm by talking about being in the depths of the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, in the darkness that's down there. Even the darkness of the deep sea doesn't hide us from God. For even there in darkness, God formed my kidneys. He formed my emotional structure. The emotional structure is something that you can't put a finger on. It's deeply impacted within the DNA, but scientists to this day can't figure it out. We believe it's part of the spirit, in the spirit realm. But God formed our emotional structure in the utter darkness of the mother's womb. You wove me together. Now the weaving here, see, David as a warrior would have slain a number of people, open the bodies up and so forth. He could see how the muscle tissue had been woven together with the muscles, the ligaments, the skin, and so forth. And he's viewing the base of the weaving of the bone structure, and then the muscles are woven over that. So you wove me together, muscles, ligaments, and tissues, in the total darkness of my mother's womb. That's a remarkable thing. When God puts together the greatest entity of His creation, He does it in the total darkness of the mother's womb. I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wondrously made. Your works are wonderful, and my life principle knows it full well. My skeletal structure, literally, was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. That would be the secret place of the womb. When I was woven together in the hidden interior, that would also be the womb, not the lower parts of the earth. He's talking about the womb at this point. So he's likening the darkness and the hiddenness of one's mother's womb like that of the darkness of being in the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea that he's just talked about. Your eyes saw my embryo. The Hebrew word is gomi. It's a technical word for an embryo. Your eyes saw my embryo, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to exist. If ever there is a verse that counters abortion, this is it. God sees the little zygote in the embryo, if it gets to the point of being an embryo and so forth. And God ordains, and they're written in the book, the parts of the body of that little developing infant, even before they come into existence. That's amazing, all right? This is as soon as the egg is fertilized and so forth. God knows all of that. He's got the DNA worked out and everything, and they're recorded in a book. So when someone takes a human life by means of abortion, they're interrupting the ministry that God already has towards that human being. It's amazing. Your eyes saw my embryo, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to exist. Verse 17, how precious are your thoughts to me, O Elohim. Notice how he shifts to the Creator God name. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Now we take this as the grains of sand, not only of the seashore, but of the earth. Can you imagine the grains of sand on the earth? Just go out in the parking lot and try to count the grains of sand that are just on the surface of the ground there. Think about going down into the depths of the earth and then the whole globe. Think of how many grains of sand there. You humanly could not count them. The thoughts that God has towards one human being are greater than that number. That's an amazing thing. When I awake, and David is not asleep at this point, but the word awake can also mean to come out of a trance, and we believe that he was in a prophetic trance up to this point. So when I come out of my previous prophetic trance, I'm still with you. This is interesting. This tells us that David, being a prophet, knew what it was like to go into a prophetic trance. He knew what it was like to come out of a prophetic trance. And in both cases, he sensed and he saw the presence of the Lord with him. Now, the translation of verses 19 to 24, applicable to verses 13 to 18, is as follows. Verse 19, if only you, God, would slay the wicked, O Elohim. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do not I have an aversion to those who hate you, O Yahweh, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have only an aversion for them. I count them my foes. Thoroughly examine me, O Elohim. Notice the reference to the Creator God, Elohim. With the result that you know my heart. It's a reference back to verse 1. Test me with the result that you know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be in me any offensive way, and lead me in the way everlasting. Okay, we note significant observations regarding this psalm as follows. There is a strong connection between verse 1 and verse 23. The idea of God's thoroughly examining David with the result that he knew all about him. And verse 23 adds the subject of David's thoughts that are full of anxiety due to his relationship with oppressive enemies that he cannot handle. That's verses 19 to 22. So David was so concerned about having God address the difficult relationships he faced with his enemies that he asked the Lord to apply his omnipotence over him to the difficult situation, that if the problem in the relationship with his enemies actually lay with David himself, that God might expose it to him, that David might confess it to the Lord, that he might be led of the Lord in God's everlasting way. This is wonderful. God knows all about us. He put the DNA together in the womb of our mothers. He had everything calculated. He knew the days, how long the various parts of our human bodies would exist and so forth and live until they would either wear out or whatnot. He knew all of that. And he also wove together the emotional structure of the being in the mother's womb. If anything, God knows us thoroughly, and the thoughts about him of us exceed the number of the sands of the earth, which is something we can't wrap our heads around. That being the case, we can trust that God to examine us and to come up. If there's something awry in us that's causing the problem with our foes, God is able to deal with that and lead us in the way of everlasting. It's a wonderful, wonderful truth. So, number three, the lesson is powerful if we are overwhelmed by a very difficult relationship and we do not know if we are the cause of the difficulty or not. We can trust God to apply his infinite attribute of omnipotence over us, to examine every part of us thoroughly so as to ascertain the truth about our hearts and see him expose what sin might lie in us, that we might confess it to him. God can then lead us in his way of blessing. I love the transparency of David here. He's leaving himself vulnerable to God. He says, God, I recognize that there's no way I can get away from you. You're omnipresent. I can't. Your omniscience about me is overwhelming. Your power over me is infinite. And all I ask is I want to leave myself completely vulnerable, that you take those tremendous qualities, those attributes that you have, and apply them to me. So that if there's something in me that's creating this problem that I have with my foes, that I can correct it. I want to correct it. That's the type of transparency and openness that God loves in his people. So God's omnipotence is described in verses 13 to 18, is to be noted. Even the emotional structure of human embryo is formed by the Lord. That's amazing. They have said that the only thing that a baby has in maturity when he is born is emotions. The baby has a completely mature set of emotions when he's born. His mind isn't there yet. Physically he's immature, but his emotions are mature. This is one reason why I believe God has women in particular to be the mothers and to spend so much time with these newborn infants. A woman is hypersensitive to emotions, and she can read that infant very quickly. I was always amazed when we had small children, infants in our home. I would be kind of half awake in the middle of the night, and the baby might cry, and Nadine could tell from the cry if it was just hunger or if there was a diaper change that was needed or something. If the baby was terrified, she'd be up out of the bed, you know, halfway to the door before I could open my eyes. I mean, she was whoop, gone. And she could tell by the cry if that baby was scared. I couldn't. I absolutely couldn't, but she could. So this is a wonderful thing. The baby has that mature emotion, and God created that in the embryo. So the skeletal structure complete with God's weaving of the tissues over it are all formed by God. And the embryo with all of its tiny parts were seen and carefully recorded as to their nature and length of days under God's ordination when as yet they did not exist or they had not been formed. Okay? God knew all of that. He could see what was happening as the zygote, as the cells were splitting and developing and so forth. He could read all of that stuff about the DNA. He knew exactly the cause and effect and what was going to come. He could see the appendix coming, you know. He could see the little toenail over here coming, all of that. And he recorded it in his book. The sum of God's thoughts about a human being thus being formed, not to mention after he is born, exceed the number of the grains of sand on the whole earth. I think every child goes through a stage where he thinks that his parents are holding out on him, that he was actually adopted and they're not letting him know, but he really doesn't belong to this family, and that kind of a thing. And he feels that, you know, he's really secretly not loved, not accepted. I think sometime that you always go through that. This is a good psalm to counter that, because what this psalm does is reveal that you are priceless in the eyes of God. And it's good to take a child to this and say, did you know that God has more thoughts about you than the number of the sands that are outside in her yard, let alone the whole world? He's been thinking about you. All the parts of your body were formed. Sometimes a person is a teenager and they're starting to grow and the ears aren't the right size, or a girl feels she's too tall or whatever, and they're concerned about their bodily appearance. This generally happens in middle school, okay? And they're dissatisfied with that. Well, taken to the passage, God knows all about your body and he had it all planned before they were actually formed. And you're still in the growing stage, so you're not a finished product yet. So wait until you become mature and so forth. But all of that fits within the plan of God. I'll never forget hearing the story about a man. When he was born, he had a birthmark that came down, the half side of his face went down his neck like this. And yet he was very well adjusted and so forth. And one of my profs asked him, he knew this fellow, he said, how come you are so well adjusted with this terrible birthmark that comes right down your face? He said, well, when I was a boy, my daddy told me that before I was born, an angel kissed me there. So he said, I grew up feeling sorry for everybody who didn't have a birthmark on his face. I thought that was wonderful, a father would do something like that. But he demonstrated his total acceptance of this boy. But even that is something that this man, as a believer, could come to use. He couldn't help the way he was born, the way he looked, and he learned to deal with it. So the lesson is, David relied on God's omnipotence to examine him thoroughly, with the result that God knew him thoroughly to ascertain if David needed to make an adjustment to attain God's blessing in difficult relationships. So may we rely on an omnipotent God to evaluate all our heart that he created to correct us as needed for blessing, especially as it relates to handling difficult relationships. May we be comforted to know that God rules over all of us and made all our material and immaterial parts so as to help us with them. Okay. Once again, this is one of the great psalms that is used to counter the idea of abortion on demand. And it could be abortion at any trimester, because you'll remember there in verse 16, God recorded in his book all the parts of the body and all the days for that person before even one of them came to exist. So you got to watch it. I prefer actually Psalm 51, because there David says, in sin did my mother conceive me, and you can't be a sinner unless you are a person. So by definition, at conception, David was a person, because at conception he was a sinner. And that's also where we get the doctrine of sin, original sin that comes from Adam, we inherit from Adam. But abortion certainly is an evil. It's certainly wrong. And so we need to keep that in mind. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback you have. It could be on the psalm itself. It doesn't have to be. If there's something else, feel free to address it.